The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Shame on you!
Police lines, they found her handbag. And lots of people filming, which we've seen right throughout these 23 days, haven't we?
Yeah, you can see a man just falling to the ground.
Hold that line! Hold that line!
Nazis are burning us down. Then they're putting the firehouse. It's a scorched earth policy. These are thugs. These are rent-a cops. They're f-ing Nazis. The whole.
But important to remember, we did say that once we were coming off the peak of Omicron, we'd be in a position to look at which mandates were still necessary. So that was something we were intending to do regardless.
Wow. That's, you know, you look at some of that footage and you think, well, maybe that was in Ukraine. There's all this smoke and fighting and violence and yelling. No, that's New Zealand. That's New Zealand. I'm Dwight Falk. Welcome to the Trumpet Daily Show. Filling in for Stephen Fleury today. He's traveling to Jerusalem. And he'll have updates from there later this week. So that'll be very exciting to hear from him over there in Jerusalem. Thanks to our broadcast partner. We are on CRN3 Digital Radio, CT on CRN3 Digital Radio, 11 a.m. Central Time nationwide, and online at thetrumpet.com/live. That's where you can see all of the video, and you can see us as the hosts as we're here broadcasting live today. Well, you just saw that crackdown in New Zealand. There's no protesting of the government, none whatsoever allowed in nations like New Zealand, nations like Canada, to some extent, I guess, the United States as well. Here's a quote from Reason.com. They're quoting, to start off with, the New York Times here. It says, officers, many bearing riot shields, responded with pepper spray and rubber bullets. At least 60 people were arrested. Three officers, were taken to hospitals. So that's some of the protests over the weekend, the blowback from it. This is over those COVID mandates, and the government's cracking down. They don't want to see any sort of that behavior, and they crack down on it in New Zealand. The New York Times notes that such scenes are rare in New Zealand, a country known for its relative remoteness, serenity, and stability. Well, it was nothing like that there on those crackdowns. It says, unlike Canada, which imposed a financial police state and is still hunting wrong thinkers, and that's what they're in trouble for in Canada, not thinking right, according to the government. It says, who dared to donate to the Freedom Convoy, New Zealand officials have so far stuck with old-fashioned head-busting, but politicians in both nations seem united in disbelief that anybody could disagree with them. They cannot believe that anybody would disagree with them. Who would disagree with the government, after all? Now, if you consider what's happening in Russia when they're attacking Ukraine, Western leaders are saying, hey, listen, Russia and Ukraine, you should get together. You should talk about this and solve your differences peacefully. But the Western leaders will not talk to their own citizens when they have a disagreement over COVID mandates. They won't even talk to them. They won't talk to the convoy in Canada. They will not speak to these people in New Zealand. They're going to bust their skulls. The hypocrisy is on full display. Full display. There's a convoy protest. It's underway here in the U.S. as well. And we have some footage of that. This is clip 3.
Ha
So those trucks, quite a few of them, you can see the footage there, making their way to D.C., and they're in that area. I saw a truck the other day here in Oklahoma. It was on Friday. I don't know if he was heading that way or not, but it was all decked out with the United States flag and had all the Trump flags on it as well. It had a sign on it that says, "Don't blame me. I didn't vote for Biden." So there's a lot of people there in that convoy as well. Reuters reports about this. There's a People's Convoy truck protest targets Washington and slows traffic. So as you see there, it's slowing traffic down. They're not actually getting towards the Capitol. I read one report where they said they learned their lesson from January 6th. They don't want to get too close. They don't want to get thrown in jail and have the key thrown away, as has happened with some, at least for a while. So, but they are circling that area there in Washington, D.C. Reuters reports hundreds of trucks, recreational vehicles, and cars circled the outskirts of Washington on Sunday, aiming to slow traffic around the Capitol as part of a protest against pandemic restrictions. So it's the same protest. It's against these pandemic restrictions that people have had enough of, and they would like to have some conversation with the government about it. And again, as we talked about just a minute ago, here the West is saying, look, Russia and Ukraine, you should come together and talk. You should come to some sort of solution and work it out. But we can't even talk in this, in the Western countries anyway. The U.S. maybe is a little more open, but really not so much. But Canada definitely hasn't allowed it. New Zealand has not allowed it. They have not allowed a free discussion and, you know, called the citizens in to say, well, what do you think about these mandates? What should we do? How should we solve it? No, they bust skulls, as we just saw there in New Zealand. They go after you financially in Canada if you've donated to these convoys. So there's a real hypocrisy in the way these differences of opinion are being dealt with in the West and what the West is saying they'd like to see happen in other parts of the world. This write-up from Reuters says, the so-called People's Convoy, which originated in California and has drawn participants from around the country, is calling for an end to all pandemic-related restrictions. So that's what they're calling for. That's all the honking. If you can tolerate the honking, apparently that's very difficult for some people, as we saw in Canada. But they're just trying to get an end to all pandemic-related restrictions. It was inspired by demonstrations last month that paralyzed Ottawa, Canada's capital city. And, of course, we saw a lot about that. It was on the news extensively and covered on this program. Leaders of the convoy said that on Monday they will again slowly drive the Beltway. That's a 64-mile highway that encircles the city. So again, they don't want to get too close. They don't want to get put in jail. The lesson has been sent from January 6th, but they are going to circle and they're going to protest. The 64-mile highway that encircles the city, though details of when the action would take place were not known. Hundreds of vehicles gathered on Friday and Saturday, it says, at the Hagerstown Speedway, a racetrack in Maryland about 80 miles northwest of downtown Washington. And so our newest Trumpet magazine gets into a lot of what's still going on with COVID. And it's an awesome cover, and it talks about the top story being running on COVID money. Big government, big pharma, and big media are working together to make a mountain of money. And so you see the article there, the cover there. And make sure you get that magazine. If you haven't subscribed to it, make sure you do that. Make sure you sign up for that subscription. Because there's still a lot happening, although there's a lot of focus on Ukraine, and we're going to talk about that. The Trumpet is still talking about COVID because it's vitally important. What is the government doing? What's happening with that? Where's the money trail? The Trumpet gets into that. You can see the phone number if you're watching. 1-866-930-3024. 1-866-930-3024. That's the number to call. Get a free subscription to the Trumpet magazine. It's covering all the world news, but still, there are protests happening. There's still a lot of government overreach. There's a lot being done with mandates still in some places to a certain extent. And vaccines, there's a lot that's being, even that's been such a big story, but now it's pushed to the back because of Ukraine. But there's still a lot to cover there. Make sure you sign up for that Trumpet magazine and get that subscription. So there's protesting. There's a lot of people upset about the COVID mandates, of course. But another thing that's really hitting everybody, it's related to COVID, but and world events in general, is inflation. Gas prices are rising quickly. You notice that, of course, if you have to fill up at the pump, and we all do, I'm sure. Gasoline is super expensive, and it's getting more expensive all the time. They're talking about, this is from ABC7 in Los Angeles, $7 a gallon for regular gasoline. Can you imagine that? $7 for regular gasoline. At least one gas station in LA is getting close to that mark. So the other day I saw something I've never seen before. And I'm sure it happens all the time. I've just never seen it. I was driving by a gas station and I actually saw the price go up. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but I was just happened to look over at the sign, the electronic sign, and the gas price jumped up, whatever it was. I thought, I've never seen that before. So it is rising, and it's rising quickly. They used to have to go out there and actually change the old physical sign, the physical numbers being changed on there. But now it's digital, and I saw the price go up. So I've seen the inflation happening in real time. It says the average price of a gallon of self-serve regular gasoline in Los Angeles County rose to $5.25 on Saturday. And, of course, out there, people drive a lot. They have to, in most cases. This is really making an impact on people. But some gas stations in that area have even higher prices, it says. The Shell gas station located at Olympic Boulevard and Fairfax Avenue in Mid-City was advertising regular unleaded at $6.99 a gallon. Let's call it $7, shall we? That's close enough. $7 a gallon. The average price of premium was listed at $7.29 a gallon. So if you have to fill up and you've got to drive around any distance at all, you're going to feel this, but especially those people that have to drive long distances. It says each of these three highest increases since July 14th, 2015 have occurred over the past 3 days. Gas prices are jumping up. And there's a tweet, too, that came out from somebody observing all of this, one of the commentators, and they were talking about U.S. officials being worried that oil could hit $180 per barrel. Obviously, the higher that costs, the higher the cost for us at the pump. Others are saying $200 a barrel. So it's amazing how much that's going up. I saw a tweet from a truck driver. They took a picture of the pump after they'd filled up their truck. Obviously, they have to get a lot of diesel. And the tweet had a picture of how much it cost. It was over $1,000. Now, $1,000. Now, obviously, it costs a lot to run those trucks. It always does. But $1,000, who's going to pay for that? Well, ultimately, it's you and me. We'll pay for it in the store because the goods that they are carrying will just become more expensive. That's how those trucks pay, get paid, and can ship the goods. So I was even thinking about that convoy that's happening right now. That convoy is getting more expensive in Washington, D.C. because of all the gas prices. So it's all going up. Those ripple effects are happening, and it's costing a lot to fill up. And part of that has to do with what's going on in Ukraine as well. The ongoing event is significant, of course, in many, many ways. Part of it is the inflation that's happening here. And we're going to feel more of that as time goes, I'm sure. But some major events are happening as a result of what's happening in Ukraine. You know, it's like dominoes. You knock one over, the others start to go in succession. And so the ongoing event in Ukraine is significant in many ways. Last week it was covered on this program how Germany is militarizing. Their military is, they're dumping a lot more money into it than they have in the past. And they feel like they need to do that. And the world is cheering that on. That they should. And, of course, we vowed after World War II that they would never be able to start another war, that they wouldn't have a military like they had. But now, you know, a little bit of time goes on. People forget about those things. And, well, they have to. Somebody's got to have a military over there. And so Germany is doing that. So that was covered last week. Go back and watch that if you haven't seen that one. It's a great program. We've written about that, too, at thetrumpet.com. Also, here's another thing that's really important that's happening. Russia is being pushed to get closer to China. They are being pushed to get closer to China. They've been close with China anyway. But they're being pushed to get even closer with China. This is from foxbusiness.com. This report came out yesterday, or I saw it yesterday. Russian banks turn to China to sidestep cutoff from payments system. So as you see on your screen there, there's the headline. So our response to Russia's power play into Ukraine is a lot of sanctions. It's a lot of sanctions, and it's trying to cut them off from the economic system. And that does affect them, of course, to a certain extent. But Russia, what are they going to do? They're going to find another way around the system. They're going to find a way to continue on with what they want to do. They're absolutely going to do that. It says, Russian banks have been cut off from global payment networks. They're turning to China's state-owned Union Pay system as the country tries to sidestep boycotts by Western businesses for its invasion of Ukraine. And so, again, Vladimir Putin is not an unintelligent individual. He certainly knew that when he goes into Ukraine or he makes any of these power plays, he's going to be sanctioned. There's going to be some sort of financial penalty that they try to impose. So he's going to work around it. It says Visa and MasterCard said they are suspending their Russian operations, making it difficult for Russians to buy goods from abroad. They can still buy things internally, but they can't apparently make transactions cross-border. The moves by the two companies go beyond sanctions issued against many Russian banks. So here, Visa and MasterCard have taken it even a little bit further. They said, look, we're not going to let you use our payment systems. These Russian banks, one of them is Sberbank, I believe, Alfa Bank and Tinkoff Bank, said Sunday they were working on the possibility of issuing cards powered by China's Union Pay. Another Russian lender, Gazprom Bank, said customers can do cross-border transactions by getting cards that use Union Pay or Japan's JCB system. So they're finding other means to do their transactions. Notice this part of the quote really, really should be shocking to us, alarming maybe, not shocking because Bible prophecy said this would happen, but it should be alarming. It says the workarounds show Russia may increasingly rely on China in the face of isolation by the West. Absolutely, they're going to. They're going to be relying more and more on China. They have a workaround in place. This workaround shows Russia may increasingly rely on China in the face of isolation by the West. It says Union Pay is ubiquitous in China and expanded globally as Chinese traveled abroad, often to buy luxury goods. Union Pay cards are accepted in stores in 180 countries and so on, so they're getting more and more use. It says, besides its card network, China has been developing its own global payment system as an alternative to the widely used global network known as SWIFT. So while the West is doing what it can to isolate Russia, really what's happening is the West is becoming isolated themselves. That's ultimately where this is going. That's why this matters. You know, the tool of an economic sanction does have some effect, maybe not as much as it should or it could, certainly not as much as military action, but it still has a certain effect. But does it have any effect if they no longer need our system? No, then it has no effect. Then we're the ones in a difficult spot. Notice this. This is a quote from our book, Russia and China in Prophecy. And this is a free book. It's at thetrumpet.com. Again, 1-866-930-3024. That's the number you can call. 1-866-930-3024. This book has, again, this was written a few years back. It could be updated, I'm sure, with more, you know, modern events. But still, it's all in line with what's happening. And it's amazing to go back and look at it and to see how specifically these things are occurring. But it talks about some of China's moves financially. And it says, in January 16th, 2016, marked a radical turning point for the global economy, particularly America's economic dominance. So there, China is, make no mistake, we should all know this, China's trying to dominate the world, so is Russia. And not dominated in the sense of, well, they want to be in charge and we can kind of be like their younger brother, friend or something. They want America gone. They want us enslaved to them. They want to run the show, and they're developing ways to do that. It says, on that date, on January 16, 2016, at a lavish ceremony, President Xi officially launched the massive Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank, known as the AIIB, a new Chinese-run international bank that directly challenges U.S. global economic leadership. That's what they're doing. They're directly challenging our leadership. The U.S. has had the benefit, the blessing of being the economic boss for a long time. So when you're the economic boss, you can do a lot of things. You can do what you want until you're not the boss anymore. When you're not the boss anymore, then somebody else calls the shots. And that's what China is trying to do. It says, unofficially, the goal of the bank is to reduce Asian dependence on the American-controlled World Bank and replace it with dependence on China. And ultimately, it is to replace the U.S. dollar with the Chinese yuan as the medium of finance. What would we do if we didn't have the U.S. dollar as the dominant currency in the world? What would we do? Well, we've been able to kind of keep going on a debt economy because we can print money. We can print money, and we can push people around a little bit economically. But that is changing. That's changing. And so as you see what happens here with Russia, and we try to isolate them and cut them off, they don't just sit there and say, oh, what are we going to do? They go to China. They go to China. Russia and China in prophecy. They're prophesied to come together, and they are coming together, very much so. You can see that there on the screen, Russia and China in prophecy and the prophesied prince of Russia. Vital books right now. Right now, 1-866-930-3024. Get those books, or you can get them at thetrumpet.com. You can download them there or read them there. But there's a prophecy in Ezekiel 4 that talks about an economic siege. It's in Ezekiel 4, verses 1 through 3. Now, it's written in language that's a little, you know, it's different, what Ezekiel had to do and the way he had to demonstrate this siege. But the point is that there's an economic siege coming, and it's against specifically the United States and Britain. See, as we try to isolate other people, well, they all get together and they isolate us. They isolate us. Hasn't happened totally yet, but you can see it beginning. You can see it beginning. Russia goes to China and says, can we use some of your systems? Can we use your cards? Can we bypass the U.S. system? The prophet Isaiah says, this is discussed in the Russian-China prophecy. It's a quote from that booklet. The prophet Isaiah discusses a powerful mart of nations that includes both European and Asian nations, including Russia, China, and Japan. And that's in Isaiah 23. You see these different power blocks coming together, financial power, military power, and the common denominator is the U.S. is left out, the West is left out. It says the relationship, again, this is Russia and China in prophecy, get that at thetrumpet.com or 1-866-930-3024. It says the relationship we see developing between the King of the North, German-led European Union, and the Kings of the East, that's Russia, China, these other Asian nations, is exactly what Isaiah prophesied over 2,700 years ago. Think about the role that this alliance will likely play in the economic besiegement of America. And so as you see these events happening with Russia and Ukraine, and you see the West reacting in a certain way and putting sanctions up and such, what do you see? You see us forcing Russia and China to get together even more so. They're getting together even more so, while at the same time Germany is developing their military. See all these pieces on the board, if you will. If you look at the world and you see all these countries, the pieces are all moving according to Bible prophecy. It doesn't happen in a day, but it certainly happens, and it's moving very quickly. These pieces are moving. The Ukraine crisis is increasing the cost of oil, right? It's doing that in the West because we refuse to use our own oil. That was talked about recently on the Trumpet Daily as well. We refuse to use our own. We're not, you know, we got to save all the animals or whatever the thinking is on that. And I know really that's just a cover for trying to weaken the U.S. And that's been talked about. The real reason is that we want to weaken the U.S. or that's what the leadership in this country wants to do. America Under Attack talks about that. That's being updated. That's at thetrumpet.com as well. If you don't understand all of those details, America Under Attack. We're not using our own resources. We're dependent upon other nations like Russia. Now we're saying, well, maybe we'll cut off their oil as a sanction and instead maybe look to somebody else. We're going to go, Biden's going to go meet with Saudi Arabia this week, I think, and then he's reaching out to Venezuela. He's trying to go to all these other people. Can we get some oil? We need oil. The prices are going up. So while the prices go up here in this country, Russia also steps back and says, I want to work with China more economically. Who's being isolated here? Who's being isolated? We're being isolated. We're isolating ourselves from the world, from those economic power blocks. And it's going to come home, and it's going to cause a lot of problems. It already is because of the inflation. And there's a few reasons for that inflation, of course, but also what's going on there with Russia and Ukraine. Western sanctions are pushing Russia to rely more on China. That's directly in line with Bible prophecy. And in the end, prophecy indicates, and that's how we know what's happening, because of Bible prophecy, it shows the West will be besieged economically. That's what it shows. And the pieces are all moving in that direction. Russia and China in prophecy, the Prince of Russia. Get those, 1-866-930-3024, or you can get them at thetrumpet.com. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, take a look at some of the leadership, quote-unquote, here in the West. You're listening to The Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Herbert W. Armstrong described Germany's devastating destruction in 1944 and 1945 as one of the worst beatings ever administered to any nation. Western leaders from both sides of the Atlantic assured our peoples that a demoralized Germany would never again be able to disturb the peace of the world. But while Washington and London were promising that German militarism would never again be able to strike, Herbert Armstrong was warning the world of one final resurrection of a German-led Holy Roman Empire. Only a very few listened. Mr. Armstrong said German industry and the German people's willpower and determination to work, produce, and organize was the very heart and lifeblood of all Europe.
The nations of Europe want to unite. They just don't know how to do it.
He said the prostrate body of Europe could not come back without the leadership of a revived and vigorous Germany.
And the economic and the military body that is to rise up and to restore the Roman Empire, the thing that we least suspect here in the United States, it cannot rise up without its heart. And its heart is in Germany.
The world is witnessing history repeat itself one more time. Request Germany and the Holy Roman Empire for more on this important subject. The Trumpet Daily.
Break it down in layman's terms for people who don't understand what's going on and how can this directly affect the people of the United States.
So Ukraine is a country in Europe. It exists next to another country called Russia.
We campaign with the plan. Uppercase T, uppercase P. The plan.
Do you plan to visit the border?
Not today. But I have before, and I'm sure I will again.
I've said I'm going to go to the border. And
when are you going to the border, Vice President?
The administration has asked. I'm not finished.
We've been to the border. So this whole thing about the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe. And I don't understand the point that you're making.
And I'm being clear with you right now.
Yes, okay.
And so if you're interested, I'll continue to be clear.
There are a whole lot of people, especially people who live in rural communities, who don't, there's no Kinko's, there's no Office Max near them.
It is time for us to do what we have been doing, and that time is every day. We are doing it.
But should we have done it sooner?
We are doing it.
What do you see as the biggest national security challenge confronting the U.S.? What is the thing that worries you and keeps you up at night?
Frankly, one of them is our democracy.
You don't feel misused or underused?
No, I don't.
When folks vote, they order what they want. And in this case, they got what they asked for. I went off script a little bit.
Oh, I mean, that's simply embarrassing. It's embarrassing. I don't think they had to dig too deep to put that collage together, a montage. It could have been probably done and made a lot longer, too. You're listening to The Trumpet Daily, and we thank you for joining us today. I'm Dwight Falk filling in for Stephen Fleury. We were talking about some of the problems going on in this country in the first segment on today's show. The issues with the Ukraine, obviously, and Russia, and then, of course, some of the problems in the Western nations as far as COVID and the protests and the crackdown. All these things are going on, major issues, especially now when we look across, you know, and see what's happening in Europe. We see what's happening in Russia. We see what's happening in China, where people are being led there by some very powerful people. They're madmen, Putin, Xi. I mean, they're out to rule the world, to dominate the world. They're doing it in very real world terms, oil, energy, finance, and we have this here in the U.S. We have this type of leadership. It's embarrassing. It's childish. It's foolish. Real world actions coming from dictators, and here in the West, we have childish leadership. This is being picked up on, even by some in the media in the West, maybe not so much here in the United States often enough, but some are picking up on this and are commenting on it. And this is a report here. This is from Sky News. This is clip one.
He's sustaining losses there, and it's not going as he expected. But I wonder whether President Biden's own personal weakness, not just the shambolic nature of the Afghanistan withdrawal or the ineptness of his administration, but the president himself, he seems to be weakening by the day. His deterioration is hard not to notice. Is that having an impact at all on how Russia's behaving, on how China may behave in the future?
Well, I would say it's not just about President Biden. It's about Vice President Harris. You know, Kamala Harris was sent to the Munich Security Conference last week, just ahead of the beginning of hostilities in Ukraine. And it was just painful to watch. You know, there isn't a single domestic issue, or indeed any international issue, that Kamala Harris has yet solved. None. Zada, nilch. She's not solved the southern border question in the United States. Yet President Biden sent her to Europe to address the looming war in Ukraine. And it was a quite extraordinary thing, by the way. Kamala Harris said in front of her European colleagues, she said things like, "What we're facing here, guys, we've got to like take a second to realize this. We're looking at the possibility of war in Europe, guys. I mean, just think about that for a moment. I mean, it was way beneath something that should just be. I mean, it was beneath something that a school child would say in that situation. It was profoundly embarrassing that the world's superpower at that moment was speaking in these banal, meaningless cliches. And, you know, the other thing that has to be said about that is that the Biden administration was saying only days before the outbreak of the war that the reason why they were looking into sanctions and starting to institute sanctions was that they would act as a deterrent. Well, clearly they didn't act as a deterrent. Mm-hmm. So even that absolutely, the first thing they actually did, the one thing that Biden administration was sort of proactive on, has, by everybody's witness, totally failed because it did nothing to deter Vladimir Putin.
It's amazing to think about. Again, we saw that clip right off the top and coming into the second segment about just the sort of the goofy nature of Kamala Harris. And, you know, if you just sort of look at that, on the surface, you say, well, that's just, you know, it's just silly and it's foolishness. But it's super dangerous because this is the woman that is being sent around, as this was pointed out in that report, to deal with people, to deal with these major issues, to go to these high-level meetings with other countries. And there are others like her, I mean, that are going around and trying to put forward the U.S.'s stance on things, to try to work with other nations. And as that reporter pointed out, it's just, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. And it's dangerous. You have to have leadership at a time like this. Are we going to send her to talk to Vladimir Putin? I mean, there are real-world consequences to this sort of foolishness. You know, and if it was just a parody or a comedy show or something, then we could all have a laugh maybe, but Would anyone in their right mind ever look at that and say, I'm going to send that lady to deal with Vladimir Putin? Or maybe she'd go talk to Xi in China. I'm sure that would work out. You might remember this clip from last week. It's almost painful, but it's worth just playing again. When we consider how childish the Western leadership is right now in the face of all these real, serious, massive issues, the childish leadership here in this country. We played this clip last week. This was the in-depth analysis, I speak in jest, of the situation in Ukraine. This is clip two.
Ukraine is a country in Europe. It exists
next to another country called Russia. Russia is a bigger country. Russia is a powerful country. Russia decided to invade a smaller country called Ukraine. So basically, that's wrong.
Yeah, well, that's the in-depth analysis. As was mentioned last week on the Trump Daily, it seems like a parody when you hear that. And when I first heard it, I thought, that can't be right. Like, that must be some sort of a joke. But it's not. That's the level of thinking that we're dealing with here. It sounds like, just to be frank, like a middle school student that got a homework assignment on the situation between Russia and Ukraine and didn't do anything the night before and gets up there and says, yeah, I think one of them is bigger than the other one and I think that's bad. And I mean, I was thinking back to when I was in school and you would see kids get up and give reports like this and you were thinking, oh boy, they didn't prepare. They're not ready. Even in a middle school project, you'd get, what, a D on that in middle school? I don't know what you'd get. It depends on the teacher, I suppose. But you would not get a good grade. This is much beyond that. This is real world, real life situations. The mainstream media is very much behind this. They don't call this out like they should. In fact, last week I was reading over CNN's fact checking of the president's address, and you know they'll have the whole transcript of the speech, and then they go and they fact check different things. And there was the moment in the speech, you remember, where Biden called the Ukrainians the Iranians, and CNN literally wrote in their fact check, "Oops." Oops. That's, again, it's like something you'd hand in grade school and it come back and you wrote the wrong thing. You say, oh, oops. Now everyone has misspeaks. I'm not trying to get too much on that point. But it's just the fact that they're giving a pass on this. They're giving a pass. You don't hear hardly anything about it. It pops up in a few things, you know, where maybe somebody's a little more on the conservative side and they'll draw attention to it. But it's not being really looked at in the mainstream media. But the mainstream media can be extremely critical, you know, when it comes to Ukraine, as a matter of fact, and not really knowing what's going on, or they didn't think somebody knew what was going on over there. They were very critical. This was just from, I guess it was a year or so ago. This is when CNN was mocking President Trump and his supporters, and they had a good laugh about it. This is clip six.
And look, he also knows deep in his heart that Donald Trump couldn't find Ukraine on a map if you had the letter U and a picture of an actual physical crane next to it. He knows that this is, you know, an administration defined by ignorance of the world. And so that's partly him playing to their base and playing to their audience, you know, the credulous boomer rube demo that backs Donald Trump, that wants to think that Donald Trump's a smart one and they're y'all elitists are dumb.
You elitist with your geography and your maps and your spelling, even though my
math and your reading.
Yeah, your reading, you know, your geography, knowing other countries, sipping your latte.
All those lines on the map.
Only them elitists know where Ukraine is. Sorry, I apologize.
It's almost, you don't know what to say almost. They just had a good old time. I mean, those three could get together. They could do an old-fashioned USO tour over in Ukraine there, make all the refugees laugh. It's not a joke. People are dying. People are in some really bad situations, and they need leadership in this world to show people what to do. And you've got, you know, these cackling guys up there. You know, it's the Don Lemon laughing hour. Why is that funny? They're just mocking. They're mocking things that they don't even know what they're talking about. And then their own party that they support comes out and says things like we've heard recently about, oh, Russia's a big country. And then they just turn a blind eye to it. What do you see in all this? Childish leadership. Children in the media. Children in the leadership positions. That's prophesied. Isaiah 3. It says, for behold, this is verses 1 through 5, the Lord of hosts, does take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread, the whole stay of water. The mighty man, he's gone. The man of war, he's gone. The judge, the prophet, the prudent, the ancient, the captain of 50, the honorable man, the counselor, the cunning artificer, the eloquent orator, and what happens instead? And I will give children to be their princes. Children. Like the leadership that we just showed. Children shall be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. It says, and the people shall be oppressed, just like we see in New Zealand, just like we see in Canada, like we see in the United States. They're going to be oppressed, everyone by another, everyone by his neighbor. And think about this last part of it here, considering the report we just saw. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. What about those three up there cackling, tickling each other under the table maybe? Whatever they're doing, big jokes. Just a big joke to them. What is that? Well, I see that, and the Bible sees it as the child behaving himself proudly. Arrogant, the base in their understanding. They don't have any understanding. They're base, and they're mocking, and they're scorning, and they're laughing. That's all that is. That's prophecy come alive in front of us. That's what that is. It's terrifying. You know, as far as like a political back and forth, each side will do those things and, you know, mock each other, and it happens. And it's not a good thing. But we're talking about something far beyond the you know, international bickering that can happen. We're talking about real-world consequences here. Real-world consequences. Can you take the quote-unquote leadership today in this country and have them deal with a Vladimir Putin, or deal with a Xi in China, or deal with a newly powerful Germany? You can't do that. Don't we think that, you know, if we can see that and we can look at it, don't we think Putin can see that? Don't we think China sees that? Of course they do. Of course they do. Now, they're not looking at it from a biblical prophecy standpoint, but they can see those are children. Those are children. We're dealing with children here. And we'll have no problem with them, because they're not able to make good decisions. They're making childish decisions. There was a story, and there's a lot of stories like this, but this is one that is in that same vein. It's from Fox News. Here, while we have Russia attacking Ukraine and all the bloodshed and the real-world consequences, you have these protests in the U.S. and Canada. People not really doing much of anything other than virtue signaling. It says a Canadian diner removes poutine from name because it sounds like Putin. You know, poutine, that's that Canadian dish, I guess, where it's specific to them in particular. They like that. Well, it sounds too much like Putin. A diner in Quebec decided to show support for Ukraine in a truly unique way. While it hasn't changed the items offered on its menu, it has decided to change the name of a popular Canadian dish. So they're changing it. Russia, at this time, has reportedly fired about 600 missiles into Ukraine. Give or take, probably more than that now. 600 missiles. And a Canadian diner changed the name of poutine. Childish. We were talking earlier about some musical artists. They come out and they release their protest songs, and you know, all these, they wear their pins and all this, and the leaders, you know, laugh and talk about geography, and it's childish. It's childish. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. That's prophecy being fulfilled every day in our headlines. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk about the need for emotional maturity, especially at a time like this. You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Program. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily.
A child is a miraculous blessing from God, an opportunity to build his family. In his word, God says to train them up in the way that they should go, so that when they are old, they will not depart from it. But how should you train up your child? Most parents do not know. Most parenting books offer only limited help because their authors do not understand the purpose and potential of your child's mind. As a result, millions of children grow up to be hopeless without any direction in life. Many come from broken homes.
Many do not have a home. This is why so many young people become delinquent, rebellious, and unsuccessful as teenagers and adults. But you can rear successful, jubilant children and avoid the heartache of an unhappy and miserable home. God has outlined how to rear obedient children in His Word. Our free book, Child Rearing with Vision, will show you how to raise children that follow after God's abundant way of life. It will help you build a strong, united family. It will help you bring God's love into your child rearing. And it will guide you through the momentous journey of preparing your child to serve God the Father forever. Request your free copy of Child Rearing with Vision at our website, thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
Welcome back to The Trumpet Daily here on Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG, and online at kpcg.fm. Also, of course, thetrumpet.com/live. That's where you can watch this live stream and other locations as well, podcast forms, etc. So thank you for joining us today. That ad that we just showed there at the break about showering with vision, you know, that could seem like a different sort of topic than what we're talking about today, but it's fundamental to it because, again, we're talking about childish leadership in that last break. Well, how do you learn to grow up? How do you learn to grow up? Well, you teach children. Children have to be taught how to grow up, hopefully before they're adults. But a lot of times that doesn't happen. So that book that was offered there is vitally important. You can get that at 1-866-930-3024. 1-866-930-3024. Or you can go to thetrumpet.com and you can read the book there as well. The Apostle Paul talked about emotional maturity, and it's something we need. I mean, there's so much childishness in the world, leadership. I mean, even when it comes to somebody like a dictator that's really using some muscle, there's a lot of immaturity there, of course. They just happen to be using more force. But we need emotional maturity. God needs leaders that have a maturity emotionally. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child. And I understood as a child, and I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things." That would be a great scripture for the current leaders globally, but in the West, to look at. Well, what about that? I mean, okay, yeah, we've all been kids, and you know, you imagine things, and you pretend, and you play, and you don't do all those things, but when you become a man or a woman, then you put those things away. You can't deal with Russia, you can't deal with China as a child, because it's not child's business. It's a very serious adult business, if you will. There has to be maturity. We need emotional maturity. Mr. Armstrong, Herbert W. Armstrong, wrote a great article about emotional maturity. I think it appeared in 1978 originally, and I have a few quotes from that today where he really talked about emotional maturity. And you can look at 1 Corinthians 13 that talks about the way that people should live. It's the love chapter. How is God's love? I mean, that is maturity, that love of God. And it gets into some real specifics there. But I have a few quotes from this article on emotional maturity that's just great to be reminded of. Mr. Armstrong writes, "But fewer still have ever give so much as a passing thought to the need for emotional development." You know, we don't often think about that as much as we should. He says, "Just what do you mean? What do we mean? Emotional maturity. Few know the meaning of the term." And he says, "Do you? Do you know what emotional maturity is?" You know, as he points out there, I mean, we grow up physically. We get bigger. We get older. we can grow up in a lot of ways. You know, we learn things and develop our education and such. But becoming emotionally mature is something that many people take for granted, and they don't really do. And it causes so many problems. And we're seeing it on full display in the leadership in the West. We read about that in Isaiah. That lack of leadership. It's a curse because we have people that are acting like children and don't have the emotional maturity that they need to deal with serious situations. Mr. Armstrong says, "God's law is based on the giving principle." See, it gets back to God's law. Living the way of give. It says the basis is love. That's God's law. It's love. Love is outgoing concern. It's outgoing concern, helping other people, thinking about other people. It says human nature is a magnet, a pull in the direction of the self you know, we think about, if you think about those clips that we played earlier, and especially the CNN clip there where they were mocking everyone. I mean, they're just selfish and they're self-centered. You know, it's us versus them, and they're going to ridicule and scorn and mock. You know, if they have an actual point, they have a disagreement, that's fine. I mean, they can talk about that. But they weren't doing that. They were just mocking and laughing and ridiculing. Selfish. Do they have concern for people that think differently than them? No, they don't. And they don't have any point either. It's just to mock and to scorn. It's immature. It's selfish. Mr. Armstrong says, but the way of God's law, which is the way to peace, happiness, and everything good, that is a way humans must be taught. You have to be taught that. It's not natural. And as he says there, it is the way to peace. And we want to solve the problems in Ukraine and Russia and everywhere else, even in this own our own nation or in New Zealand or Canada and all. How do we solve it? God's law solves it. It takes a certain amount of maturity, though. Emotional maturity. We have to have God's law. Giving, he says, sharing, serving, helping. Those things have to be learned. They have to be learned. And if they're not taught, then people don't learn them. He says, one is not really mature until emotionally and spiritually grown up, as well as physically and mentally. Parents should realize it is their responsibility to study their own children, teach them right direction, and control over tempers, impulses, feelings, angers, moods. See, when we're talking about emotional maturity, it's talking about controlling all of that with the law of God. Now, I don't need to get into the details. I think everyone's pretty familiar with some of those personalities we showed and those clips, but you know they're not living by God's law. They reject it very specifically and very forcefully. And so what are you left with? Selfishness, an out of control temper, impulses, feeling, anger. And it's on display all the time because God's law is rejected. It says, Mr. Armstrong writes, we have to teach restraint of selfishness and vanity, teach love and outgoing concern for others, teach giving instead of taking. And a person could read that and say, well, that's so simple. That's so simple. But people don't do that, right? You look at even the situation on the world scene and all the different problems. And really, they're no different than the problems you'd face on the playground. Taking, I want that, I'm gonna take it from you. No, it's mine. Well, I'm stronger than you, so I wanna push you down, I'll take it. It's no different. It's the same impulses, it's the same spirit, it's the same emotional immaturity that's just expanded to very adult-sized actions. International actions that are causing problems and will continue to. But it all comes down to God's law, emotional maturity. And he makes the point here that emotional maturity does not mean emotionless maturity. It doesn't mean cutting off your emotions. It means using them the right way, having emotions that are used the right way. You know, we showed clips of them just laughing and yucking it up. Laughing's great. Having a good laugh is great, but it has to be done the right way. It can be perverted. You know, and unfortunately too often is. It doesn't mean getting rid of emotions, it means controlling them. And as Mr. Armstrong points out, Christ is our perfect example. That's the example we have to look to, and we don't have time to get into all the details. But if you want to do a great study, look at 1 Corinthians 13, and then go back and look at Christ, and look at the way he handled things. He cried, you know, he laughed, he did all of those things, but he did it with perfect emotional maturity. And that's what's missing in this world, and it's certainly missing from the leaders that are in this world today. You can get all of our literature by calling 1-866-930-3024. We have literature listed there at thetrumpet.com. Make sure that you get some of these books and some of this material that'll help you with emotional maturity and also those other prophetic events we talked about. That's all the time we have for today. Thanks for joining us here on The Trumpet Daily. See you next time.